This is the Perfectly Mentored Podcast with your host, Jason Portnoy.
We are live. You're taking my lines from me. You're taking everything. This is just really has become your show. How are you, Megan?
I am good. How are you?
I'm tired. 10 days on the road. Good to be home. I got to see the kids yesterday. They were very excited to see me. Chloe was a little bit uncomfortable, I guess. It was weird. I guess, being gone for so long and then just showing up and popping up kind of like took her by surprise. Yeah. But then she warmed up to me and only wanted me. So it was good. Aww. Ryan gave me a big hug. Noah's 6 months old, doesn't even know who I am. so it doesn't really make a difference. But yeah, we're good. Good to be home. Good to be home. Good to be back in the swing of things. Incredible conference. If you're in e-commerce, you should definitely be checking out Shop Talk. Man, what a show that was. Just in the sense of all the big brands are there. And it's not very, it's like I'm used to the dude bro marketing conventions. And this was not it at all. It was really cool. I went with one of our clients and with Johnny, and he was just like a boss there. Like, I mean, that guy knew everybody. So it was the first time. Usually I go to the marketing conferences, I know everybody and I take people around. This time I was like putty in his hands, just walking around meeting people. And they have a cool concept. What it is before the event, you get to pick people that you want to meet with. Mm-hmm. And then if they select you back, they give you a designated meeting space. And I'm telling you, it was like packed. I'm telling you, half a convention, like over 1,200 tables, like I'm talking about. And then they give you a time, a table number, and then you go meet that person. So it's like speed dating.
which was pretty
cool. I've learned some stuff. I would do it a bit more strategically next time around, but it was great. Always good to be in Vegas. And then Florida for Mastermind, which was really good, which technically we're supposed to be doing an event today in Orlando, but that didn't happen. So we are looking at June. We're looking at June to do an event and maybe in New York. I think we might do it in New York. So close by. Easy to get to, maybe like around Newark. So you fly in close location and that's it. Now I'm just happy to be home. What's going on with you, Megan? Are we ready to rock and roll? Do we have questions today? Are there good questions? Are people ready?
Oh, my first question is, if Shop Talk wasn't dude bro marketing, then what was it? What would you classify it as?
Regular, normal, functioning human beings.
Oh, okay. Perfect.
Yeah, it was it was cool because if you went there with the intent of being like, hey, I'm going to just go close 100 clients from there, you'd get laughed out. It wouldn't work. It's relationship building to its finest. But like anyone who's in the e-com space, they're like Shopify had a big booth, Klaviyo, it was massive. It was really, really cool to see what people are up to. And then all the cool new features like AI, met a really cool partner that we could potentially partner with from a streaming media side of things. So like Hulu and things like that, how to run ads, which could be a cool thing for our clients. But yeah, just really cool to see what's out there.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Our first question is from Luke. My business is newer and we're just getting it off the ground. So when it comes to ad spend, we're on a tight budget for now. When it comes to all of the different advertising platforms, which ones should we not bother with at the beginning?
Well, no context here whatsoever. I don't know what Luke does for a living. I don't know if he owns an e-commerce brand. I don't know if he's a contractor. I don't know if he's a plumber. I don't know if he owns a restaurant. No idea. So hard to answer you, Luke. But I will give you a general answer, and I'll pretend that you are a service owner, and I'll also pretend that you own an e-commerce store. So if you're an e-commerce store, it's Meta. That's the only one you should be focusing on. But it's hard because if you're expecting conversions with no money, it's going to be tough. Megan, stop bringing guests to the show. Come on. Like, you're stealing attention. Here I am trying to give really good advice, and like, I can't compete with that. So
maybe it'll bring in more viewers, you know.
Well, what are you doing? But I'll lose the attention on me. No one cares what I have to say. There's a cute dog that entered the screen. Man, nah. So if you're an e-com store owner and you're expecting conversions off Facebook ads, it's gonna be tough. So what I would do is probably I'd run like video views with a low budget, top of funnel, and then just retarget anyone who watched those. But I'd also probably go the influencer route and just be like, who can I do? Or like joint venture strategic partnerships. I'd be like, who do I know that has a list I could potentially do business with that has my audience, and we could potentially do something together. That's where I'd probably start if I had no money and I needed to pick one platform. It would be like influencers / joint venture strategic partnerships, a combination of that. If I had money, it would be Meta, and that would be it until we get rolling. If I was in services and whatnot, it's this is such a hard question to answer without context into what the goal is. So I'm just really giving advice, but I don't know what your goal is. So if you're listening to this, you know, just take all this with a grain of salt, because it all depends what your goal is. I'm just giving you general stuff, because otherwise we're just going to say next and move on to the next question, and then that's not a fun show. So probably Google. I would do Google and make sure that you pop up when people are looking for a local plumber or a pizza shop in their area, that you actually show up and you're spending to stay on top of mind there. So those are my two answers. Luke, if you want to write in with a little bit more context into what you do and what your goals are, then I could help answer you a little bit clearer.
Okay. So
the quality of the questions will determine the quality of the answers. I'm sorry. So if you're upset with these answers, it's the quality of the questions.
Well, if Luke is a pizza shop owner, you're saying that Google is more like the best route to bring in customers, whereas
does Luke have money or does he not have money? Is he on a tight budget.
He did mention that. Luke's on a tight budget. It's a new business.
I know millionaires on a tight budget. That budget is very different than the average person's budget. So so tight budget is a relative term. But yeah, I'd probably do Google because people are going to search you. But like, you're telling me to pick one platform, and it's very hard to pick one platform when you're just trying to get started and you're trying to generate awareness and you're trying to get out there. So if I own a pizza shop, I'd probably run some sort of local Facebook ads for a small. That was weird.
Wow.
For a small amount of money. And a mixture of Google ads to make sure that you show up there as well.
Okay. What are the advantages of hiring a business coach or mentor as one-on-one as opposed to like a group coaching style? Does one-on-one make that much of a difference? And this is from Kara.
The short answer is yes. So anytime I join a mastermind, and like, this is how I find my coaches that I work with one-on-one, is if I'm in the group and I really like what they're doing and I want more hands-on approach, then I will seek them out and see if we're a good fit for one-on-one. Group coaching is, like I said, you're in a group, so you're not going to get, you know, 90 minutes straight with me and let's dive deep into your problems. And then the follow-up happens in the group. It's great. If you don't need that and you don't need like the handholding, I know that for certain things I need the handholding. I'm also a bit more of a private person, so I don't like airing everything out inside of a group. So I'd much rather just be like, hey, look, I got a financial question for you or an investing question for you. And I don't need everyone knowing my whole life story or how much money I have or how much money I don't have or how much money I have to invest or how much money I don't have to invest. I don't need everyone in my business. So, you know, you could pay for someone for an hour consult, or you could work with them one-on-one if you think there's more of an ongoing approach to it. I also think the quality, the type of help that you need will determine whether a group is enough or one-on-one is enough. Mm-hmm. Something like mindset, for example, is hard to really do in group. It can be done, but that's more of an ongoing thing. So, I think it's really depending on what you're looking for, what you need help with, and are you a person that needs a little bit more of an accountability or a little bit more access type of person? But I'd always recommend if the person you're trying to work with one-on-one has a group, I'd always try to recommend joining the group first.
Yeah.
And then making sure that you feel that you're comfortable, unless like you know that person well, and you just vibe and you're like, I'm not joining a group. I have no time to join groups. I need to be able to access you when I need access to you. And I've done that a couple of times where it's like, I don't need the group. Thank you. I'm not interested in curriculum. I'm just interested in knowing that I can message you when I have a question, go straight to you and get a response. And one-on-one will definitely get a response faster than group.
Okay, how important is the layout of my e-com business's website, and is this something I should hire a professional to build out? And this is from Jen.
Hey, Jason here. I hate to interrupt this episode. You're probably enjoying it so much right now, and thank you for paying attention to it and tuning into this episode. Look, the truth is I really need a favor from you. We really want to keep getting this in the hands of more and more people. So if you could do me a favor and head on over and leave a 5-star review, leave us a review, leave us some comments, share it with friends, spread the love. It would mean the world to me. As well, continue the conversation with me on Instagram at Jason Portnoy. Follow along there. Look forward to seeing you there. Thank you so much. Now let's get back to the episode.
Very important. Very important because you need to know if your conversion rate's bad, it's very important. If your conversion is great, then you could always tweak and get a little bit better. But it's one of those things that you don't build it and then be like, okay, is this really good? You need traffic coming to determine whether things are good or bad. Yeah. So if you have 5 people come to your site and they all bounce quickly, you may assume your bounce rate's really bad, your website sucks, and start going into panic mode and how do you fix it? But it's such a small sample pool, like it's such a small data sample that doesn't make sense. So you need to have enough traffic coming in order to figure it out, and then you tweak. So the layout's very important, but not as important as not getting started. Like you need to get started. You need to get a website up. You need to get things going. That doesn't mean make it ugly and just throw it up there. But I try not to weigh in on aesthetics a lot, especially if they don't have traffic, because I only care about the data. And if there's no data coming in, then it's just a preference. Like I've seen sites that I think are really ugly convert very, very well. And I've seen the most beautiful sites just absolutely suck. So I try to keep myself out of those conversations until there's data. And then I let the market be the deciding vote. The ones who wave their credit cards at the end of the day, those are the ones that have a vote, not me. Or you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this is from Brian. What are some tips on creating a successful email flow, specifically one geared toward potential customers of my online clothing store?
The flow is kind of going to be hard, but once they're out of a flow, so let's say abandoned cart or abandoned browse, meaning they checked out a product and didn't buy, or they added to cart and they didn't buy, or they've gone through the checkout process but didn't buy, or they sign up for your newsletter but didn't buy. You have all these different types of flows that you potentially have. Once they're out of that, they become part of your campaign. So it's really just, are you offering enough value for them to buy? And then once you have, so it's not really a flow per se, because you're not going to keep someone in a flow for forever.
Yeah.
Eventually they just join the list, and hopefully you have a sale or you have something that gives them a chance. So what I would do is make sure that those other flows are like solid, that you really give them a reason to go back to the product. You really give them a reason to go back and finish the checkout process. You really give them a reason to go back to their cart, and you make it easy and they get there and then they want to go buy. After that, if you do that well and they didn't buy, then just keep offering value, new drops, and keep keeping them up to date on what's going on. and then eventually sunset them, which means if they're not even opening any emails, give them a really good reason to open an email. And if they don't, they get purged from your list.
And that's called sunset setting?
It's like a sunset flow in the sense of like anyone who hasn't opened or closed an email. It's like almost like a breakup.
Oh, okay.
Like, hey, open the door or we're going to break up with you pretty much.
Okay.
You don't say that. That's really bad copy. Don't use that.
Yeah.
Although it may work, but yeah.
Yeah. Never know.
It's pretty direct, like open this now yeah. or we're cutting you. But yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So now for my question of the week. What was your least favorite part of building your business back when you first got started?
Which business, Megan?
I know. I was gonna say.
You get the pick, right? We've built three or four now. So.
Okay. How about the marketing agency?
We could go one by one. You want the clothing brand?
Let's go through all of them.
Okay, yeah. Let's go through all. What was the question again? What was the thing I hated the most?
When you first got started. Yeah.
The fact that I didn't have sales. I hated that. You know, when you start, you're naive and think, okay, I'm going to build it and then everyone's going to start coming to me. So with the clothing brand, I hated that I spent so much money in building a website and doing all these things and then no one came to buy the first time around. Yeah. I hated being wrong in the sense of I thought I was going to build this and this was going to be huge. And like I quit my job and I went in and then it was like, wah, wah, wah. And I hated how exposed I was in the sense of I knew nothing about business. I knew nothing about numbers. I knew nothing about that. So those are all things getting started. Like I thought like, cool, I'm just gonna be my own boss. It's gonna be super easy. I don't have to work for anyone and money's gonna roll in and it's gonna be great. So I hated the fact that like it was more work than if I would have just had my regular job. Mm-hmm. Most people don't realize that. So I hated that. That's when I was first getting started. From the agency side, the thing I disliked the most was all the admin work. Mm-hmm. I didn't like the admin side of things. I didn't like that. Like I like the strategy. I like being straight out there and doing all that. And I guess with the coaching program, the thing I didn't like the most when I was started with the coaching program. I don't know if there's a thing. It's a good question in the sense of as I've matured in business, my like reality's changed, if that makes sense. It's like my expectations like now match reality. I'm more mature person than I was as a young kid starting a clothing brand. My expectations, my self-awareness has changed in the sense I know what I like and what I don't like. I know what I'm good at, what I'm not good at. I think I do better at getting out of the lane and letting you do certain stuff that I don't like that you're good at and that I'm not good at. And that's an important thing to remember. The thing that you find really, really boring and that you can't tolerate is someone else's dream work. Like you love certain things about your role. And you and I spoke about this, right? Like the things you love about it are the things like I would shoot myself in the eyes. Like I rather stab myself in the eyes than do those things. But like that's your like love. That's your zone of genius. So just understand. And I think that was a mistake I made in the clothing brand later on. Was not like just being like no one's gonna want to do this. This sucks. I'm gonna have to do it. And then you start burning yourself out. Understanding that there's always somebody there that. The things you hate are the things they love to do and mm-hmm. try to find someone that you can match with that way.
Yeah.
Right. You're way more organized than I am. You love, you know, responding to clients and having conversations. It's when people meet me for the first time, it's funny because I was just having this conversation when I was in Florida and someone said like, you're very different. I said, what do you mean? And like you're very different in the sense of like when I see you online and when I meet you in person, you're like a lot calmer. you're a lot more reserved and held back and a lot to yourself. And I don't think people realize that is I'm sociable. And I started realizing this in Vegas a little bit more. I hate small talk. I hate networking. The trade shows. Oh, we could go back to when I started clothing that the trade shows. I hated those. Like, hi, how are you? Hi, how are you? Hey, check it out. Hey, how are you? Hey, how are you? I hated those in the sense of like by 8 p.m. I was exhausted. Mm-hmm. It pulled me like so far out of my comfort zone that it just exhausted me and wiped my batteries. Right. And I needed to like go to sleep at 8 o'clock to charge in order to do it again. I'm an introverted extrovert. Like I like being around people, but I like being around people I know. Mm-hmm. And if I meet someone, it's cool. We'll talk. If we vibe, then it becomes a lot easier. Like I'm the guy who waits there. I analyze the situation a little bit. And then I start warming up to people. Like, but I'm not the guy that walks into the room and is like, hey, everybody. Like, and I've always wanted to. I always thought that that's such an admirable trait. Like someone walks in and they become the life of the party. And they literally walk in and you could tell that they have a presence walking into the room. Not with me. And it's funny because everyone thinks I'm this like extroverted person that I'm always outgoing and that I'm talkative and that I'm sociable. I am, but it's like, it's hard. It's almost like I have to put on a persona and like get out there. Yeah. And then I'm drained.
Yeah.
So when someone saw me, they're like, man, I listen to your podcast. I see you on video and I see you on social media. And then when you're talking to me, you're like a completely like, you're such a mellow version of that. Where's that person? And I'm like, come on my podcast, I guess. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
I don't even know if that was an insult or a compliment. Like I left there, that part of the conversation. Like, so you don't like me or you do like me or you like that person better? Which one is it? But yeah, so I think the hardest part for me in anything is the social aspect of it, is the always being front facing. I love being on stage. Don't get me wrong. I love talking on stage.
Yeah, how do you explain that?
I don't have to interact. I'm just talking. I like Q&As because the dynamic's already there, right? It's a very different dynamic when I'm on stage and I'm like, all right, let's go rapid fire Q&As. And if people line up and give me Q&As and you're there and you're like, hey, Jason, how are you? And I'm like, hey, how's it going? Or after the speech, people come over to me. Then I go into some other person's event and I don't know anyone. The dynamic changed because I'm already an authority. I get barred authority because I'm on stage and because I just spoke. And so people already have that build up, right? So they come over and it's not that I like being higher than the person. That's not what I'm trying to say at all. It's that barred authority makes me not have to assess the situation. It's there. You're coming over to talk to me. We already have a rapport already just because you heard me talk or you're asking a question and whatnot versus I walk into a room and it's like a party and you're there and I have to go approach you or I have to go start talking. Like I like to assess the situation, but I love speaking on stages. I love podcasts. I love going to events, but it takes me a bit to warm up. That's why I found the speed dating thing at Shop Talk really cool. Cause you're forced to network and you're forced to like meet people. Mm-hmm. So it's a really, really, really cool concept, but I don't even know if I answered your question, Megan. I think I rambled off.
You did it first, and then
psychotherapy. Like we're analyzing myself. This is like a therapy session. You know, I think this happened.
When I was a baby, turn.
I realized something. I don't know. I don't know what happened, but I think we started with what do I like about business and what I don't. And then it turned into what things I like about myself and don't like about myself. So. Yeah.
Okay. Well,
are we done here, Megan? Are we out of questions? Because I don't want to go down a rabbit hole of analyzing myself. This is like
If you want me to be your therapist, you're gonna have to pay me for it. So.
Well, I definitely won't do it live on social media. So let's put it that way. Yeah.
But yes, I think you answered it. I'm happy with that answer. So
good. Well, if you guys want to work with me after all this, Then maybe you need therapy. No, I'm just kidding. But if you guys want to work and you want to figure out a way to work together, just head on over to jportner.com. Everything's there. And my new book comes out this week. You can't see it. It's blurry, but that's okay because you can't even buy it now anyways. So we had it like live front and center with to start the show. And Megan's like, just put it right next to your face. I'm like, it's a really good idea when the book is out. So hopefully next week there's a giant book next to my face. Would love to help you. If you have any questions or you need anything, please reach out to me on social media. And as always, Megan, thank you.
All right. Bye.
Have a good week.
Hey, everyone. Thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed that episode. Thank you for your attention. And if you made it this far, you're clearly somebody who wants to take their business to the next level. You want to get better. And I understand that being an entrepreneur sometimes can feel like a little bit of a lonely journey, which is why being part of a thriving community of like-minded people is just so important. It was super helpful in my own development as well. And as is the ability to instantly get answers to the questions you may have in order to grow and scale your business. It's for that reason why I launched a consulting coaching program called the Market Domination Method. And guess what? If you're listening to this and you hear this, we're open for applications right now for new members to join. So to request an invitation or to book a free diagnostic call, call it a game plan call. I'll literally sit with you and demonstrate the value that we could bring to your business on that call. Let's jump on a call. We'll discuss ways you could possibly grow your business. Head on over to jportnoy.com, jportnoy.com. You'll find all the different ways you could work together. It's going to be the best business decision you'll make. So hope to speak soon. Head on over to jportnoy.com, book that free game plan call, and I look forward to talking to you soon.